This conference will now be recorded.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the February 16th, 2023 Citizens Ethics Advisory Board meeting. We will start with a roll call. Michelle Mullins.
Present.
Mary Bigelow.
Here.
Charles Trusano.
Here.
Karen Christiana.
Here.
Jason Farrell, he's not going to be here with us today. Kevin Johnston. Kevin is not here. Cheryl Lipson.
I'm here.
And Laura Schuyler.
I'm here.
Very good, thank you. For our first order of business, I need a motion to approve the minutes of the January 19th, 2023 regular meeting.
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Charles. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining?
Abstain.
Thank you, Laura. Motion passes. All right, for chairperson's report, all I have is that since the next UAPA meeting, or the UAPA meeting in April, will be on April 13th, we should try to find a hearing officer. Now, Cheryl, you're off the hook because you're already on the hook for March.
I am. So you think it's going to happen?
Well,
there are like 30, 35.
They're in the 20s now.
Okay.
So we're working our way down.
I have confidence.
This usually happens. Usually within 2 weeks, that's when you sort of really whittle it down to last few. So,
yeah. Keep cheering on your team.
Yes, I'm good.
I wouldn't count on coming into Hartford on March 9th, necessarily.
Okay. I would not have to come into Hartford. Is that what you just said?
Okay, I wouldn't count on it.
Okay.
So, but we'll let you know.
I'm counting that I won't.
Okay. We'll see. We'll do our best.
That's fine. Thank you.
So how about a volunteer for April 13th?
Oh, I was just a volunteer for this. So.
Yes.
I
just volunteered you for other things.
Too.
So you're off the hook.
Okay.
All right, let me take a look.
Dina, what time is it on the 13th?
10 a.m. is when we normally do it, right, Mark?
You can adjust the schedule for the hearing officer, so it's...
I just have a 1 o'clock appointment that I can't miss. That's the only thing.
You know, if we have two hearings, that could run past 1 o'clock for sure, depending. So that could be tough.
Okay. I
think we should volunteer Jason.
That's not a bad idea. You know what? Put me down for the 13th. I will take the 13th. All right, and that's all I have for the chairperson's report. Just a quick note on the evaluation process that we're in the middle of going through for the executive director. You all have received self-evaluation from our executive director, and now your subcommittee will solicit feedback from the staff on an anonymous basis, and then we will bring feedback to the board at the March meeting, and we'll do that in executive session because it's a personnel matter. So just to give you an update on how that will work. All right, so on to Brian O'Dowd for our legal division report.
Good afternoon, board members. Brian O'Dowd for the record. I don't have much to add. I will note that with respect to the regulations, we're still in a holding pattern. We're waiting for the Attorney General to respond with their review. I did note at one of the previous board meetings that last time around, they did do a kind of quick review of the regulations and said they did not see anything major at all. There were a few tiny fixes. We made those fixes, so we're hoping this time around it's just, you know, free and clear, and then we're ready to submit the regulations to Regulations Review Committee. So we're hoping and praying that that moves forward quickly. I believe late February is when we should hear back from the Attorney General's office. In terms of informal opinions, you'll notice that the numbers are starting to creep up again. You know, we were down to the 60s for a while, and now we're up to 75. We're, you know, not quite at the 95 we were at 2 months ago, but we're getting there. And we have been getting a lot of complicated and somewhat controversial opinions, and we've been giving a lot of no's out to people, thinking that, you know, they're going to go to the board. We tell them, you have the opportunity to go to the board, you could appeal it, see what they say. But once they hear the process, you know, that it's much more open and public, and they, especially if it's a controversial issue, no thank you, and they kind of just back away. So that's kind of what's happening. I'm surprised. I thought a few of them were going to take it, and you know, we'd have a few board opinions, but thus far, no takers. So that's about it for the Legal Division report. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Interesting. Questions for Brian? Thank you for that.
Sure.
Mark Wasilewski for our Enforcement Division report.
Okay, thank you, Chair Castro-Cohen. Good afternoon, board members. So you have the enforcement report in your packet. There's one item I want to highlight, and then one item that's not in the enforcement report that I want to highlight. First off is, as you know, the division has been working hard at administering lobbyist initiatives. We now have, of the 49 notices of hearing were sent out, we have 28 matters that are still open. So 21 have either resolved or been dismissed for good cause. So we're working steady to bring those numbers down, mainly through settlements. Second of all, not in your report, is I wanted to extend the division's appreciation to our fellow staff member, Henry Hirschkorn. He works the administrative part of the office. And as you know, over the past year, over the summer, then December again, there were scores of state employees that had retired. And many of those were SFI filers. And so he has worked with new retirees and the people who are coming back for a 120-day work schedule, I guess, as a temporary retiree, to make sure their SFIs are sent in before the deadline, right? So once an SFI filer retires or leaves the position, they have 60 days within from our notification to send in a statement of financial interest, a departing statement of financial interest. So he worked very diligently with the agencies and also the retirees, and as a result, we don't really have any enforcement actions against individuals. So so he actually did a very good thing, and he's, so I just wanted to extend a note of appreciation to Henry on that. Any questions?
Questions for Mark? No. All right, and thanks to Henry for that effort. That's really,
yes.
That's really helpful. All right. Peter,
all right.
On the education and communications report.
Thank you, Dina. Again, good afternoon, board members. So on the education and media front, you have a copy of the training report for the month of February. I have a couple updates. First, as you know, this year is the mandatory year for ethics trainings for members of the General Assembly. We already held seven sessions. Attended by most members. We have 15 members remaining out of 187. So the plan is to hold one more in-person session on the day when the House and the Senate are in session. So they have to be here at the Capitol. And we will, we're working this with the legislative management. So the word will go out to those 15 outstanding that we will be at the Capitol to provide the training, and it's ultimately up to them. But I hope that the 15 outstanding members will be in attendance. The second point I want to make is Sarah Clark, our Director of Education and Communications, is officially on maternity leave. Actually, as we speak, she's in the hospital. Delivery date is today, has been moved from yesterday to today. So once I hear, I'll definitely send you an email where things stand. Over this, the past 3 weeks when she was with us, Sarah's been very active helping me out in various projects. She updated the ethics liaison list, conducted an outreach to members of the General Assembly, attending ethics trainings to get up to speed on the content and the format that we employ. In addition, she provided assistance with a report to the governor and also has been reviewing our website and publications and planning for updates and reformatting things once she cuts back. So upon her return, she will be very busy. There will be plenty of work to do. And so while she's away on maternity leave, I'll be responsible. I'll continue to provide trainings and communicate with ethics liaisons, as well as to respond to media inquiries. We anticipate to have Sarah back first week of May. So, and I, again, I want to thank Diane for preparing this month's media report. I'll be happy to answer any questions on the education media report. If you have any.
Are we starting a baby wall in the...
Well, it seems like we're very active in this area, so...
All right, we can move on to the legislative update.
Sure. On the legislative front, on Monday, February 6th, the GAE committee raised our agency bills as concepts. I anticipate the language of our proposals will be published shortly and scheduled for public hearings, which I anticipate they will take place probably in early part of March. Once the language is published and proposals receive the bill numbers, I'll meet with co-chairs and ranking members to discuss the substance of those proposals. It appears the GAE is very active this year. They've raised 60 concepts. They already approved 30 proposed bills on various topics. And it seems like the one active area this year is the subject of quasi-public agencies. So we'll monitor, there's an unusual number of bills related to quasi-publics, and we'll monitor closely those bills, especially as they may impact the ethics code. And Melissa Hurry has prepared, or will be helping me with the legislative report, and she will also be assisting me in monitoring any bills that are percolating out there. So I want to thank Melissa for her assistance. Any questions on the legislative front? More is definitely forthcoming. There's just GAE seems to be behind a little bit because nothing has been published yet.
Very good. Any questions on the legislative piece? All right, we want to dive into your report.
Sure. So the first subject topic that I want to discuss is the budget. On February 8th, the governor released his biennial budget for fiscal years 24 and 25. The governor has recommended what we requested, so that's a good sign. Our budget for fiscal year 2024 is $1,935,000, and for fiscal year 2025 is $1,964,000.
That includes the increases that you asked for.
Correct. Yeah, that's the total budget for those years. This morning I had an opportunity to testify to discuss our agency budget before the Appropriations Committee. In that proposed budget, one note that I've been asked about by Appropriations Committee members is the increase in funding for our 16th position. As you recall, I've mentioned the need to reclassify our office assistant position to a staff attorney position, and that staff attorney will play a hybrid role in the legal division, provide assistance with legal advice and also education initiatives. Again, most of our budget, as you know, is devoted to personnel costs and to cover salaries and wages. Only 6% of our total budget is for operating expenses, and that component covers board meetings, covers obviously supplies, credit card processing fees for lobbyist registrations, and also enforcement hearings, if we have any enforcement hearings. So the two aspects of the operating expenses part are always fluid, because we don't know how many enforcement matters will go to a full-blown hearing. That can happen, it can range from year to year. And also, the other fluid aspect are our credit card bills. We know it will always increase because most payments are now made by credit card. That's one. The second thing is banks may raise fees for when they charge merchants and for the service they provide. So we'll see. But again, so far so good. We have sufficient funds to cover things right now. I've also requested in that budget additional funding for IT initiatives. And the appropriations subcommittee that has cognizance over three watchdogs will meet in early March to discuss the details of our budgets. And I don't, again, I don't anticipate any surprises or any issues with our budget. It will be an opportunity to discuss the history of what has happened to this agency over the years and to emphasize our independence and importance of funding our ethics initiatives.
We generate revenue.
Absolutely. We actually that's the next subject that I'll talk about is lobbyist registrations. We generate around every biennium slightly over $1 million. So that's a substantial sum. Actually, up to yesterday, and I have a correction to make. At the January meeting, I've stated that we've received $855,000 in lobbyist registrations. There was an error made. The correct number as of yesterday is $791,000 in lobbyist registrations. We'll eventually get to 855 fairly soon, but that I just want to make that correction so the record reflects the actual number. So again, we'll definitely get to $1 million fairly soon. But that's the revenue that we generate, and it goes to the general fund. And in terms of credit card fees, as an update I've received from our fiscal folks, as of yesterday, we've paid over $14,000 in credit card fees, and that's just the past since January 1st. Now most of it will be covered this year, but again we have one more year to go. So the range is always between $20,000 and $30,000 for credit card fees. In terms of lobbyist registration season, it's slowing down, but it's still ongoing. As of this morning, we have 873 client lobbyists registered, 467 in-house communicator lobbyists, and 164 outside communicator lobbyists. So, and that number will obviously change as the session progresses. Finally, the last topic I want to broach is the report to the governor. You've received a copy. We filed the report with the Office of the Governor on February 9th. It covers the calendar year 2022. This is an annual statutory requirement. We have to file the report to the governor pursuant to our Code of Ethics for Public Officials and also Code of Ethics for Lobbyists. It's a team effort. I want to thank Brian and Mark, Anne and Sarah for contributing to this report. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have, actually on any topic that I just discussed.
The report is very well done.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely, you have to pull various data and information, and that's why it's so critical for, it's a team effort, so, yeah.
Questions for Peter? All right. Well, then we have reached the public comment portion of the meeting. I'll be silent for a moment in the event that we have someone from the public on the line who wants to say something. Okay, hearing nothing, we can move on. We do not need a closed session, nor do we need an executive session. So the only thing we have left to do is a motion to adjourn. Wow.
So moved.
Can I get a second?
Sure.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, folks, we are adjourned.
The seat's not even warm yet.
I know.
I promise we'll have more stuff next month.
Oh my goodness.
Bye.